Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
You know that we got a job to do. Talking to you and you and you. Man, woman, boy, and girl. We got the job to remake the world.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the Tuesday morning programming right here on American Muslim 360. My name is William Kareem, and the program is The Lives of the Prophets. We have been following these stories of the prophets by Ibn Kathir for the whole year. What we want to do is we've finally gotten through all of the prophets and gotten to the point where we're now talking about Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Now, I think that what we should do, we should just basically, you know, go over the lives of the prophets so that we can come to understand, you know, I want to understand where I'm at as far as it's concerned. When I was a child, I remember coming up as a Christian in Sunday school, there were prophets that I learned of. We learned about Prophet Adam being the first prophet, okay? Adam and Eve, that's always how it was said, Adam and Eve. And, of course, in Muslim context, it says Adam and Hawa, okay? But it's basically a male and a female. That's basically what it was. We've also found out that, you know, in the Quran, that the way that the Quran talks about the making of Adam is a little different from the way that they talk about the making of Adam as far as the Bible is concerned. Then we get to prophet number two, which is Prophet Idris. Now, with Prophet Idris, Idris is mentioned in the Quran, and Idris is also one who wrote a book. But what the Christians did, they didn't include the Prophet Idris or Prophet Idris's writings into the Bible. That was a decision that they made. But he is known as the second prophet in by Ibn Kathir and in this Islamic history. He's mentioned in the Quran. Then the third prophet would be Prophet Noah. We know about Prophet Noah and the great flood that happened with Noah. That is clear. And in Islamic history and Islamic writings from the Quran and also in biblical writings also, that is clear. Then we get to the fourth prophet, which was Prophet Hud. Okay? Prophet Hud is basically, let me see, where was it at? Who is Prophet Hud? So this is what is said about Prophet Hud. Islamic scholars have historically recognized Hud as the first Arab prophet. Ibn Kathir, that's what Ibn Kathir said, a famous 14th century historian, identified Hud as the son of Salih, who is sometimes interpreted as either Salih's only son named in the Torah. Okay? This would suggest that Hud was actually the ancestor of Prophet Abraham. Then we went to Prophet Salih. And then from there, we went to the sixth prophet, which was one of the major prophets, which is Prophet Ibrahim or Abraham. One of the interesting points that I think should be pointed out, which always sets us up for confusion as human beings in the 21st century, that we wind up getting names mixed up, because some people say Abraham, and then some people say, no, it's not Abraham, it's Ibrahim. And so, yeah, well, it's Ibrahim. No, it's Abraham. But this can cause a lot of confusion. And when we talked about Prophet Enoch or Idris, his name was Idris. No, his name wasn't Idris, his name was Enoch. With Prophet Noah, it wasn't Prophet Noah, it was Prophet Noah. So sometimes, you know, when studying these historicals and trying to trace these ideas about what's going on in history, we have to take into consideration the changing of names. And the changing of names happens throughout human history. You know, when just to digress a little bit, when we talk about, you know, living in the United States of America, that the name of America wasn't actually America, that it was named after some explorer. And when we talk about Egypt, that, oh, no, that wasn't the name. It wasn't Egypt. It was called Kent. So, you know, the idea of, well, Lake Victoria. No. It wasn't called Lake Victoria. It was changed. So in studying history and doing research, we find that there are changes to names of what people call things, and sometimes it can lead to a lot of confusion. Like I said, you know, we're studying, and Prophet 6 would be Abraham or Ibrahim. Prophet 7 would be Abraham's son, which would be Ishmael or Ishmael. Some people spell it Ishmael, and some I-S-H-M-A-E-L, and some spell it I-S-M-A-I, apostrophe I-L. So they make these little differences and insist upon it. No, that's not what it is. It was this. Prophet 8 was Prophet Ishak. So that's spelled I-S-H-A-Q-Q, but we also know Prophet 8 as being Isaac. We also know that. We also know that with Abraham, we agree that Abraham in the Bible and in Christianity or in Islam, that he's one of the major prophets because he is Father Abraham, the one who recognized the oneness of God. And he had two sons, and one of Ishmael, which came from his wife that he took out to the desert. And then he had another child from Sarah, his first wife, and which was Isaac. So then you have the Ishmael Isaac. But in Torah scripture, they say that it was Isaac who helped Abraham to build the that was going to be sacrificed. And then in Islamic history, it says, no, it wasn't Isaac. It was Ishmael that was, because it was the firstborn. But they run a technicality on it, okay, to justify it. And they say, well, no. Well, Isaac was the first legally born. So that's what they put. That's what humans put on it. No, he wasn't the first one. He was the first legally born. So he was the first son. Ishmael wasn't, you know, really the son. And they don't really recognize Ishmael in the writings. They don't recognize him. The people of the book. And when we talk about the people of the book, we're talking about basically the Hebrews, the also known as the Jews, because they were, you know, into writing. There was a side that, you know, that used writing. And then remember what Allah says, you know, read in the name of my Lord who taught man the use of the pen. Remember the use of the pen? And so this is what, you know, some of these, our ancestors who became prophets did, they wrote. And so they wrote it, and a lot of times they wound up writing it the way that they want to write it. Or, you know, as time goes on, then they wind up putting their spin on it. But we get the basic idea, and what we want to do is basically follow the basic idea and leave alone the extra that has been put on it. We know that Abraham had a child, had two children, you know, he couldn't go into his wife Sarah. And so, you know, Sarah's handmaid Abraham married her. She had a child named Ishmael. We know that Abraham took her out to the desert, okay? And when he took her out to the desert and placed her near, okay, the sacred house, okay, in the desert by herself. We know this history, okay, because the Hajj is made from that. It comes from that. So we know that that's a fact that happened, that this woman, okay, and Hajar or Hajar, Hagar, that she was, her and her son was taken out to the desert, and it's the whole idea of the Safa and Marwa. So we understand that in historical terms to be a fact, because the whole idea of Mecca actually came about from that. So it started with the sixth prophet, major prophet Abraham, having the son Ishmael, who took her out in desert. So they don't write about that in from the people of the book side. They don't write about that. Okay? The Quran writes about it, but they don't write about it, or the people of the book don't write about that side of it. They write about Isaac and Isaac's side. And so Isaac was, or Ishak was the eighth prophet that came, you know, one of the sons of Abraham. And then from his line, Isaac's line, comes prophet Jacob. See, so we got that thing as far as names are concerned. Again, you know, Yaqub, Jacob. So Yaqub is mentioned in the Quran. Jacob is mentioned in biblical history from the people of the book. Where names are different. And why is that? Well, is it because of language or what? What is it? Why is there this difference? Well, it's because of pronunciation, brother. You got to make sure that it's pronounced right. Okay, so what we'll do, we'll give both, Yaqub and Jacob. So that was the ninth prophet. okay? And Jacob comes from the line of Isaac. And then there was another major prophet, and that major prophet was number 10, and that was Prophet Lot, Lut, L-O-T or L-U-T, okay? Prophet Lot, Prophet Lut, 10th prophet. And there's an agreement in biblical history, and there's a in biblical writings and Quranic writings, there's an agreement about what happened during Lot's time or Lut's time. And it basically follows the same ideas, basically follows the same ideas regarding that. But then on prophet number 11 is mentioned Shu'aib. Now, Shu'aib isn't necessarily mentioned in the Bible, but it is mentioned in the Quran. And he's an interesting prophet because he was one who stood up and tried to warn the people about their greed. He's very relatable to what's going on today, the overpricing of things, the overpricing of selling merchandise that's not up to par for a fair price. So Shu'aib was one who stood up against the people and told them that it wasn't right that they were doing it, and if they didn't stop, that this is what was going to happen. And, of course, because of hunger and greed, these people that he talked to didn't. It was like, look, don't be coming telling me nothing about this. I'm making my money, man. You know, he told me that if the people are going for it, what seems to be the problem here? And Shu'aib was like, yo, it's not right. You shouldn't be doing it. But they did it anyway, so they wound it up having, you know, their town destroyed. And then there came the 12th prophet, which is one of the major prophets, and that was Prophet Yusuf. And Yusuf or Joseph, okay? Yusuf was in Quranic scripture, Joseph in biblical writings. And there's a basic agreement about who they were and what they did. It was a basic on about the life of Joseph. He's very famous, especially in biblical history also. It's Prophet Yusuf in the Quran is one of the best surahs that's in the Quran. I mean, it's very readable. But, you know, we know about Joseph in the coat of many colors, Joseph's coat of many colors. So, you know, there's been movies that have been made about him, about Joseph. So that was prophet number 12. So he's one of the major prophets. And then there was prophet 13, which is prophet Job. And Job was very interesting because we get an idea about who Job was, and they make some, Ayub. It's Ayub in Islamic understanding, but then Job as far as biblical writings is concerned. And it is, they basically say the same thing about Prophet Job, that he was wonderful, a wonderful prophet because he lost everything. But in the writings that we read from Ibn Kathir, it basically said that Shaitan, you know, was like, ask Allah, he said, listen, if you didn't give him everything, that's why he's following you. But if you took everything away from him, he wouldn't follow you no more. That's basic. That was the interesting that we found out about Prophet Job through this Ibn Kathir. And the way that it was written with Ibn Kathir, so we had a better understanding of it, and we could see that the test that actually comes, that Shaitan wanted to put the test on him, and Allah allowed the test to be put on him because he knew that his prophet Ayub or prophet Job would pass the test, but he wanted to prove it to Shaitan. He said, yeah, you can do all that you want, take all that you want from him, just don't take his life. That was the agreement. And so Ayub or Job winds up passing the test with flying colors, and then he was given all that he had lost, okay, as far as health, as far as children, as far as wealth, you know, all of that was taken from him, and he wound up getting it back double. And it seems like it seems that this is something that happens. Remember, this is something that happened over a period of time. This wasn't something that happened within a week or 2 weeks. This happened for years. This was a test that happened for years, and he passed it. And then there was the 14th prophet would be Dhul Kafil. As far as Dhul Kafil is concerned, there's a lot that's said about him. Dhul Kafil is believed to have been exalted by Allah to a high station in life and is chronicled in the Quran as the man of the company of the good. He was the possessor of the potion. That's what it said about. And so he's mentioned in the Quran. He's not mentioned in biblical scripture. He's not basically mentioned, Dhul Kafil. But he is mentioned as being the 14th prophet. Then the 15th prophet winds up being Jonah. Jonah's was interesting in our reading because Jonah is mentioned in the Bible and Jonah is mentioned in the Quran. But the way that Jonah was what we found out about Jonah in reading the Lives of the Prophets by Ibn Kathir is that Jonah basically gave up on his mission. And in the process of giving up on his mission, you know, he thought he was, you know, in the clear. And, you know, like he just walked away from his mission and Allah wound up taking him through a lot of tests. It took him through a lot of tests. You know, a lot of times they only mentioned Jonah in the whale. But there was the idea that Jonah had to get from the place, the town that he was in, and then had to get to the sea, because he was just leaving. And so he went to get in a boat, and everybody knew him, so he got on the boat. And when he got on the boat, next thing you know, Allah, you know, made this storm come against the boat, and they started throwing stuff off the boat, and they got to the point that it's like, yo, we got to throw somebody off the boat. And they drew arrows, and Jonah's name came up two or three times, and then that's when Jonah realized that, yo, he was the one that, you know, that Allah was telling him, yo, you got to go. This is you. But Jonah eventually winded up passing the test. But I think that with all of these prophets, there is a lesson there for us. Just like, you know, Prophet Jonah's lesson was, you know, like, you know, it wasn't only always the people, you know, that the message wasn't always just about the people. But in this case, it was about Jonah being given a message and him not delivering the message and what Allah took him through. So that was a good lesson for us. Then Prophet number 16 would be Prophet Musa. Remember, you know Musa and Harun, or Moses and Aaron. And so this is another prophet that, Prophet Musa, is one of the prophets that are written a lot in biblical history and also written a lot in the Quran. And there are a lot of lessons that we learned from that, because there have been movies made about Moses, et cetera, et cetera. Then the prophet 17, this prophet, Hizkiel or Ezekiel. The differences, these differences in spelling. And in this differences in spelling, Hizkiel, that's how they're doing it. Prophet Hizkiel and then E-Z-E-K-I-E-L. But it's basically, I think that it's basically pronounced the same way. And then from there, we had Prophet Elias or Elisha, two ways to say it. And then we had Prophet 19, which is Prophet Shamil or Samuel, he was an interesting prophet. Well, they say he's a prophet, but actually he was also a king. That's what we've learned about Prophet Shamil or Samuel, because the Hebrew people needed a leader, and so they made Samuel the king. And so from here, we come to understand how the writing there's more writing that actually goes on from here, because there are more names that we actually recognize. And so Prophet Samuel, it was an interesting story, because the thing is, it's through Prophet Samuel that David, little David, or Dawood, becomes recognized. And Samuel was the one that basically recognized him because of the work that he did with the David and Goliath tale. The David and Goliath tale that happened, it was a really good read coming from The Lives of the Prophets by Ibn Kathir. It was a really good read. Samuel, as king, was able to defeat Goliath and the enemies that was to the Hebrew or the Jewish people. And because of that, David or Dawood became famous. And so when Samuel died, David wound up becoming the leader, king or whatever it is that you want to call it. And, you know, then the 12 tribes of Israel come about. But then David was one who did a lot of worship. And then his son was named Suleiman or Solomon. And his son, as the 21st prophet, became the 21st prophet because he expressed a lot of wisdom and good judgment. So the people wound up, he wound up being succeeding his father because he was a wise son. And then from there we got prophet number 22, which is prophet Isaiah. Prophet number 23 would be prophet Jeremiah, and prophet number 24 would be Daniel, another major prophet, especially in religious history, because it's Daniel in the lion's den, and we all remember that. And then prophet number 25 would be prophet Uzziah or Ezra. And then prophet number 26, which would be Zechariah, and Zechariah is mentioned a lot in the Quran, especially because he was the caretaker of Miriam, Prophet Miriam. And because he was the caretaker of Prophet Miriam, and he was one who prayed and has his prayer answered. Then we get Prophet 27, which would be Yahya, also known as John. And then Prophet number 28 would be Prophet Esau or Jesus. And I went over that. I thought it was important to go over that, brothers and sisters, because, we come now to the Muslim prophet who was given the Quran that talked about all of these prophets. We come to, which is Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which is the 29th prophet. So between Adam and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, there were basically 28 prophets. There were 28 prophets that came before Muhammad. We do a lot of studying and research as far as the Quran is concerned. That's what we do. We study the Quran, and we read about the prophets. Some they go into specifics, but many times they don't. And the readings from that we've done as far as The Lives of the Prophets or The Stories of the Prophet by Ibn Kathir, you know, they've given us some detail because Ibn Kathir has given us some of the stories that come from the Quran and the Bible, and then some other historical factors that may have surrounded some of the prophets that we came to learn, little tidbits of information, which winded up being important to us because we found out a lot about it. So we're halfway through the program right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a PSA, and then we'll come right back. And if you have any questions or comments, you know, go ahead and press one on your phone, and I'll bring you into the queue. I do find that there's a change in Tuesday programming on American Muslim 360. it used to be it's all about courtship and marriage. I don't see that. I don't know if that's still playing, because when I checked the queue, I didn't see it. But at 2 p.m., we have Inheriting the Power of Mental Freedom. That's going to be on at 2 p.m. today, Eastern Standard Time. It'll be 2 p.m. On American Muslim 360. And then maybe it's all about courtship and marriage. Hasn't been put into the queue yet. I'm not sure. But I don't see, when I checked the episodes they're supposed to play, I didn't see it's all about courtship and marriage. But at 2 p.m. this afternoon, Inheriting the Power of Mental Freedom is going to play. So we're going to play this.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preacher Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for having me.
All right, so make sure to tune in on Saturdays from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time with the Preacher Hadi. I see that our sister, Martha Nala Williams, is in the queue, and I'd appreciate it. If she would give us some clarity, press 1 on your phone. I appreciate it, Sister Martha. If you're available, there's a program at 2 p.m. called Inheriting the Power of Mental Freedom. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Martha.
Alaikum assalam, my dear brother William.
Yes,
and
so
everyone. Yes, sir.
The schedule for Tuesday is 2 p.m. Inheriting the Power of Mental Freedom. And is it also going to be, it's all about courtship and marriage at 7 p.m.?
Correct. 2 to 5. No, excuse me. I apologize. He comes on it from 5 to 7.
Is that Inheriting the Power of Mental Freedom?
Yes.
Oh, I see it. Yeah. Right, because, right, got you. 5 to 7. And then from 7 at 7 o'clock comes on, it's all about courtship and marriage?
Correct. 7 to 9.
Okay.
Manira Habil and Bina Mohammed Beya.
Okay, very good. Very good. That's what we needed to. I just need to clear that up. Thank you, sis.
You're welcome, bro.
All right. So, since that's what it is, let me see. Okay. So, we're going to get back to programming. I'm going to get back to the programming here, but what I wanted to do, I wanted to play the PSA for, there you go, it's all about courtship and marriage here.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Now, one of the points that I really wanted to make, because I was watching a television program called The Good Wife, and they had a case, and the case was about two women who were fighting over a man who was in a motorcycle accident. And when he was in the motorcycle accident, he went into a coma. And so the two women were fighting. because one of them was going to divorce the man, but the other one was like the girlfriend. And the claim that she had, the girlfriend had, was that she had the man's child. So she was putting in her claim. And they were going to get married, you know, her and the guy that was in the motorcycle accident. But, you know, he wound up having a motorcycle accident and then went into a coma. And in the process of going in a coma, then these legal, some legal things happened. So what I wanted to do was there was something that happened with that because, you know, when we was reading about Prophet Ezra, when we read, as a matter of fact, I'm going to read that part for you, which is Prophet number 25. When we read about it, this is what it's basically said. It said that Ishaq ibn Bashir reported on the authority of Ibn Abbas and others that Ezra was a saint and a wise man. He went out one day to his own farm, as was his custom. After noon, he came to a deserted, ruined place and felt the heat. He entered the ruined town and dismounted his donkey, taking figs and grapes in his basket. He went under the shade of the Kaiba tree and ate his food. Then he got up and looked at what remained of the ruins. The people had long been lost, so he saw bones. And so he says, in quotes, "Oh, how will Allah ever bring it to life after its death?" And that's a quote from the Quran, from Surah 2, verse 259. So it goes on. He said this not out of doubt, but out of curiosity. So Allah sent the angel of death to take his life. He remained dead for 100 years. And this is what really caught my attention, because it's like, how do we believe this? How do we believe that, you know, a man could be dead for 100 years? But then it goes on. After 100 years had passed and there had been no changes in the Hebrews' affairs, Allah sent an angel upon Ezra to revive his heart and his eyes in order for him to feel and see how Allah revives the dead. So this is, you know, when we hear this, it's like, oh, come on, man. You know, there's got to be something that is a higher knowledge than this. After 100 years passed, all the changes, and he sent the angel to revive his heart and his eyes in order for him to see and feel. Come on now. So the angel said to him, "How long did you sleep?" And he said, "Oh, a day or part of a day." He said this because he knew he had slept early in the afternoon and woke up late in the afternoon. The angel said, "You remained asleep for 100 years." So sometimes this is difficult for us to believe because it is not a normal occurrence for something like this to happen. It's not. So we have a lot of times we have our doubts. But I found this piece, and I'm playing this piece for you because I think that it says something about this issue that happened with Ezra sleeping for 100 years.
Trauma snapped back, causing severe trauma to the cerebellum. We've stopped the bleeding, but sorry, it's a subdural hematoma.
Which means?
Mrs. Wilder, your husband is effectively brain dead. I'm sorry.
But not dead.
Excuse me, who?
I'm his wife. You divorced him.
She did not. Doctor, are you saying that Mr. Wilder can never be revived?
Effectively, yes.
Doctor, I look at contracts all day long. When I see the word effectively, I know it means no.
Medicine, sir, is not a contract. With this massive loss of brain tissue, there's a 1 in 1,000,000 likelihood he would revive.
But 1,000,000 to 1 means life. And life needs to be cherished and treasured. What other value do we hold higher?
Sir, the only thing keeping Mr. Wilder alive is she.
Doctor, do you have another assessment?
No.
I
had a patient. He fell off a ladder in 1988, and he ended up in a persistent vegetative state. I made the same speech that I just heard him there. And then, 21 years later, he just woke up. I don't know any other way to say it. He woke up from a 21-year sleep. He was a one-in-a-million shot, and yes, science and medicine deal in repeatable phenomena, and not this. But I don't make that speech anymore.
I don't make that speech anymore because there are some things that we don't understand as far as being human beings. We don't understand it. So, you know, when it says, well, Allah, how will you ever bring it to life after its death? Surah 2, verses 259. And it says that after 100 years has passed, Ezra came back to life. It's like, and that's not the only place in the Quran that it says something like that. It says it in other places. Well, how long have you slept? Oh, a day or part of a day. Nay, you have slept. So there are miracles. We call them miracles. There are miracles that sometimes happen that we wind up not understanding, but the power of Allah may give to one of his servants, that Allah can do whatever Allah wants to do. And that phenomena still happens today. And that was the same idea that we have with Jesus, Esau, that when it says, and when it said that, and they boasted that they killed Christ Jesus. Nay, but they killed him not. But only that was how it was made to appear to them. So we know that today, that it, I mean, you know, like we know that he was hung on the cross. We know that. And we know that he lost blood. We know that. We know that he was taken down off of the cross, and it's a possibility that his heart stopped, or it just that he looked like he was dead and he was put in the tomb. So when he rose again, it was like at that time they called it a miracle because they didn't understand the science. But it's not like to say that that doesn't happen today, that there aren't people that are pronounced dead and they come back to life. We understand that because there are many times that that happens, that it seems like a person's heart has stopped and they have this equipment that can make your heart start up again. We understand that. Today we understand it. But at that time, during the time of Prophet Jesus, Esau, it was like, oh, it's a miracle that he came back to life. It was a miracle. So there's this understanding that we have that Allah can do whatever he wants to do. Allah can do whatever he wants to do. Yes, we understand that Jesus did not die on the cross. We understand that. From a Quranic perspective, we understand it. And even from a biblical perspective, it's understood. Because even the Bible says that he didn't die on the cross, that after his resurrection, that he actually went and visited with the disciples. So in the biblical, in the Bible, it says that, but that's not what they promote in Christian history. They promote, oh, he died on the cross. He died on the cross. So we have come to have a better understanding. I know that I have. I have come to have a better understanding of what has been going on with the prophets and what has happened with them. And come to understand some of these things because people will always ask, well, yeah, Jesus died on the cross. Well, how are we going to come back? How are we going to come back on that? What is the comeback? How do we respond to that? At one time, it was like, yeah, well, okay, Jesus died on the cross. I just got to accept that. But we don't have to accept that today. We don't have to accept that. You want to, we can say, well, listen, people of the book, if y'all want to continue to accept that, fine. And even the people of the book talking about the people who are the holders of the Torah, okay, they don't accept Jesus at all. They say he was a rebellious Jew. And sometimes Christianity does not point that out to us, that he was from the Jewish faith. We get an idea because it says, I didn't come to change the book, I came to fulfill the book. And when he argued with the scribe, with the rabbis, when he argued with them, and they couldn't handle his argument, they couldn't handle him. But he was one of theirs. He was a Hebrew. He was a Jew. But they did not accept him. And when they didn't accept him, he said, okay, listen, I'll go and talk to the people who are not Jews. They're called Gentiles. I'll go and talk to the Gentiles. And he started talking to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles, they believed him. They believed in him. He was like a rock star. He became a rock star among them. And then they started saying all kinds of, yo, he's the king, he's the this, he's the that. He didn't put, I'm the king of the Jews. He didn't say that. But that's what people put on him. Just like they put on Biggie Smalls, the rap artist. Yo, he's the greatest rapper of all times. He's the GOAT, G-O-A-T, the greatest of all times. And just to let you know, the first one to actually put that out was LL Cool J. He said, he wrote a record called The GOAT, the G-O-A-T, greatest of all times. And what happened was, and this is what happens, people took that and they started to apply it to other things. Because that's what human beings do. And that's why, you know, we talk about this idea of the changing of names and adding to the story, you know, putting a little more sauce on it, put some cream on top of it. So LL Cool J comes up with, yeah, you know, like the greatest of all times. Now, you know, Kobe Bryant was the greatest basketball player of all time. No. It was Michael Jordan who was the greatest basketball player of all time. No. It was Wilt Chamberlain is the greatest basketball player of all time. He's the GOAT. So that's basically what they did with Jesus. Somebody, he said, yo, my father, he said my father, talking about his relationship with his Lord, and they took it on one level. Oh, yo, because the way they understand father is like, oh, you mean you know like your father, you know, well, a father has to have a son, so the son comes from the father because it was the sperm from the father that came to the son. So the father and the son is the same, and because of the spirit that Jesus, you know, had, the gospel that he preached, which was so profound, so the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are one. So this is what the human being does. Three in one. And they start, and so then it winds up being a question. How's it going to be three in one? And see, we get, as Muslims here in the American circumstance, we've had to address and deal with some of these ideas that the cherry has been put on the top, the extra cream that has been put on the top of things, you know, a little bit more sugar that has been added, because there's been a lot of sugar that has been added to a lot of things that we have come to understand as far as Christianity is concerned, even the whole idea about Jesus being a white man.
That was sugar that was put into the idea of Christianity. They know damn well he wasn't a white man. But that's what they put on. That's the cherry that they put on top of it. Then they started making statues to make it, Jesus, not only did he die on the cross, but he was a white man, he had blue eyes, This is what the human being does. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, it doesn't stop. It's not going to stop. It's happening today. It's happening today. So be very careful. We should be very careful about the sugar that we put on top of things. We should be very careful about it. And we have to question. Why do you think we're in the situation with Donald Trump? And I'm not saying that we. I'm talking about the American people are in the situation with Donald Trump because of the sugar that they have that added, the little extra cream they have put on top, that cherry. He's the greatest of all times. Yes, we gonna put him in. Man is corrupt as hell. You don't see that. They bring out the facts about the corruption. Bringing out the facts as far as the corruption is concerned. I don't see that. I don't see that. What I see is, this is the greatest. He's the GOAT. No, I'm not voting for nobody else but. I'm not voting for anybody else but. Yeah, it's crazy. The human condition continues, brothers and sisters. The human condition continues. The whole idea about the influence, the whisperer, is alive and well. And so it winds up being important that we continue to say our prayer, read our book, and depend on our Lord. Say your prayers, read your book, whatever problem, call on your Lord. Keep it simple, but don't get caught up in the foolishness. And even in Islam, don't get caught up in it. In the foolishness. You think there ain't no foolishness in Islam? We have to be, we are thinking people. And ask Allah for his guidance. That's what we have to do. Say your prayers, read your book, and if any kind of confusion or whatever comes, call on your Lord for guidance. That's what we pray 5 times a day. Show me the straight way, the way of those on whom you have bestowed your grace. And not the way of those whom the wrath is brought down, nor the way of those who go astray. And there's a lot of suggestions out here in this atmosphere today. A lot, especially in the social media circumstance. There's a lot of greed. Prophet Shuaib, there's a lot of greed. Prophet Lot, there's a lot of homosexuality and sodomy out here. These are the lessons that we're being taught from the lives of the prophets, because the same things that the human beings did in the time of Lot, Noah, Enoch, whatever, it's the same. It doesn't change. Because the human being makes those kinds of mistakes. So I got a couple of minutes left, but someone has their hand raised. 407-407-408. As-salamu alaykum. Your microphone is open.
Well, alaykum as-salam. This is Bilal from Hudson, Florida. Got a little something I wrote I'd like to share. I'm out of community. Alhamdulillah. I'm out of community. Love, peace, and unity. For the community life, we must have productivity, economic stability. It takes money to establish peace. Needed institution and industries, business and God consciousness. Islam promotes private ownership, a serious part of our worship. Freedom to utilize our potential as long as we are living and thinking rational. We must have a better condition ourselves, serving humanity with love and charity, that cop of generational wealth, doing this in our and others' best interests. Allah wants his servant to benefit those who are intellectually, physically, and spiritually sick, contributing to other nations in America, purifying, evolving our intelligentsia. All praise is due to Allah, showing through our work. These words means a lot. We will continue becoming more responsible and productive, less dependent on government. We will be in a better position to give. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. And inshallah, Allah will bestow his mercy on us and help us that we may be the balanced community that will be able to accomplish those things, because there are a lot of, we just have to be balanced and move forward, take care of ourselves and our families, and inshallah, communities, and make things happen. Well, thank you so very much, brothers and sisters. We just did a review on what we have learned about our prophets. Next week, I guess we'll start with Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, because Prophet Muhammad was, I mean, from a whole different, it was a whole different time. He didn't have anything to do with the people of the book. The people of the books are not meant, does not mention Muhammad. Now, people say, yeah, Muhammad is mentioned. Okay, Muhammad is mentioned. But there, if he is mentioned, he got a sentence or two. He might have a paragraph. That's as far as we'll go. But they didn't write about Prophet Muhammad. They didn't write about him. But what happened, what winds up happening is that the creator of the heavens and the earth winds up revealing a whole book to Muhammad, peace be upon him, that we follow today. So we'll take a look at that, okay? We went over these prophets that are mentioned, especially as far as the Bible is concerned, and inshallah we get a better understanding. But now we're going to go into the Prophet Muhammad and look at the Sunnah and what people have said about him. So until next time, I thank you so very much, brothers and sisters, for being with us here on American Muslim 360. Let me invite you to listen to our program this afternoon on A New Day Community Radio at 10, from 10 to 1. We are going to be talking about relationships. There are some interesting observations that we have come to understand, and I think we should talk about it because it's going to have an effect on our community. So I encourage you to tune in 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. to A New Day Community Radio, 515-605-9326. Until next time, I give you the greeting. As-salamu alaykum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.